Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. John's Toorak on this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. A very warm welcome to you joining us on Zoom or joining us on YouTube for our recorded service. Just before we do begin our service today, just a reminder that next week, the 15th of November, we will be having services here in the church at 8 and 10 o'clock on Sunday, 20 people maximum at both of those services in attendance. That may change this afternoon with our Premier's announcements, but we shall respond to that as we see fit. But 20 people in the church for both 8 and 10, and then for the following Sundays in November, until we can make some further allowances for a greater number of people. The service will still be recorded, and it still will be streamed live via Zoom. So we'll be doing both, and look forward to your presence either here in the church or online. If you do want to join us in the church, you will need to call the parish office this week to book in to one of the services for the remaining Sundays in March.
In November.
Why am I saying March? I don't know. Lovely to see you all again this morning. Let's come into the presence of God and prepare to worship with some beautiful music by our director of music, Mr. Christopher Cook.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Watch and be ready, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience in the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Joshua, with verses from chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. Now therefore, revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinance for them at Shechem. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From the Psalter this morning, verses from Psalm 78. Give heed to my teaching, O my people. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. For I will open my mouth in a parable and expound the mysteries of former times. What we have heard and known, what our forebears have told us. We will not hide from their children, but declare to a generation yet to come the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his mighty and wonderful works. He established a law in Jacob and made a decree in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, that future generations might know, and those yet unborn, that they in turn might teach it to their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget his works, but keep his commandments. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with an archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridegrooms took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. but the wives took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I wrote this sermon, news coverage was blanketed by the presidential election in the United States. By the time I finished writing it on Thursday morning, the result was still not known. And as I typed, votes continued to be counted, and no clear winner was emerging. Coverage was virtually everywhere. It was, to me, almost unavoidable. You might have been glued to it yourself, or you might have tried to avoid it completely, or with any luck, you were blissfully unaware, or for a whole host of reasons, there were other things far more important or pressing or urgent or needful for you to do than worry about an election in another country. Regardless of which path was yours, what was certain was how important this election was not only to Americans, but also Australians and indeed to many people around the world. Like it or not, our leaders, especially those of countries with enormous influence, such as the United States, radically affect our world, and our country included. Broadly speaking, we look to leaders of nations for a whole host of guidance on a whole host of matters. Political, economic, health, even morality and value forming. We scrutinise every aspect of their life and are usually not surprised to discover in them some flaws we all have. Yet too often we expect perfection in every decision. From the President to the Prime Minister, to our Premier to our Archbishop, leaders such as these set the tone. Here in Victoria, over the past few months, our Premier gave a daily press conference, which most of us watched daily as well, either live or later on a variety of devices. People speculated about what time it would happen, what he would say, even what he would be wearing. Would he go with his North Face top, or would he be wearing his jacket and a formal shirt? Because what we waited for were announcements and decisions and leadership. Think how wildly different life would be right now if it weren't for the decisions of those in power across Australia with regards to COVID-19. Now almost zero cases nationally, and we're on our eighth day of zero cases and zero deaths in Victoria. We look on in horror at Europe and the US, as highly developed countries such as Britain proclaim that the best that they can now do is try and prevent their hospitals from being overwhelmed, with a strong chance they will be. Compared to that horrifying outcome, our Prime Minister and our Premiers have done an incredible thing. The large-scale illness, suffering and death of others has been, so far, largely averted here. And while they have paid the price, so too have we. Lockdown, privation, isolation, unemployment, loneliness. Without a doubt, the leadership we elect, the leadership we follow, shapes countries, communities, ourselves, and even our health outcomes. Perhaps that's why, with such influence over the world, the US election took up so much cultural and collateral bandwidth this past week, and indeed this morning. Leaders matter. Here I am reminded again that as Christians we have only one real leader, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That premiers and prime ministers and presidents will come and go, but only Jesus shall remain. And I remind myself and you that it is to Christ that our ultimate allegiance lies, no matter who might be in the Oval Office, in Canberra, or in Spring Street. And I also remind myself that these people who may well lead well and give their all in doing so of whatever party or whatever politics are not God. Some might think of themselves as God, certainly the Roman emperors did, but they are not and never will be God. They are, in a sense, the foreign gods that the prophet Joshua speaks about in our first reading this morning. Joshua's warning about following such foreign gods, gods who do not ultimately love us nor care for us, includes what happens to those who, by doing so, turn away from the real and living God, the God, as Joshua points out, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, that is, up out of the land of slavery. The consequences are dire. Joshua describes God turning away from them and even consuming them. Either way, not good. The inference is clear. They are, and we are, to ultimately follow God and none other. If we do not, we risk that God shall turn away from us. It should be no surprise, therefore, that Jesus himself encourages similar behaviour. In the section of Matthew's Gospel that we hear from this morning are several parables about watching and waiting. Watching and waiting for the one who is to come. In today's parable, it is the bridegroom at a wedding. In the parable immediately preceding it, it is the master of the house. In today's reading, we hear of bridesmaids, some of whom watch and wait correctly, and others who do not. In the preceding parable at the end of chapter 24, we read of slaves who choose not to watch and wait for their master to return. The teaching is clear. We are to watch and wait for the return of our leader, Jesus Christ. Imagine if we spent as much time watching and waiting for Christ as we did for Dan Andrews' Daily Presser, or the result of the Queensland election, or through our federal election, or watching and waiting during the US election. Imagine if we spent as much time watching and waiting for Christ. But today's message is also clear. It isn't enough to simply watch and wait. We must also be prepared. In all these scenarios, it is the master, the groom, therefore Jesus, who comes to visit us and not the other way round. Jesus is the one coming into our worlds, our towns, our homes, knocking on our doors. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, speaks about Jesus coming out to meet us, meeting us in the air, as he writes, which is not some description of what some incorrectly call the rapture, but rather a meeting of Christ in that space between heaven and earth, which the ancients thought to be the sky. If there's earth below and heaven above, where's the halfway point? The sky. Christ is again coming out to meet us. Jesus not having to be found by us, but us being found by him. And while we do well to watch and wait for him, we must also, like good girl guides and boy scouts, be prepared for his arrival. And this is really the key of today's gospel reading. 10 bridesmaids prepare for the arrival of a groom. It is night, and thus lamps are needed. Their lamps require oil to keep burning, and the 5 wise bridesmaids take extra oil with them. The foolish do not. And as these things go, everyone's lamps run dry because the groom is late. What he's doing at midnight on the night of his own wedding is another question. Those with extra oil use the oil they have and can't spare it for those who forgot. In the heat of the moment, the foolish run to 7-Eleven to buy more. And as luck would have it, this is precisely the time the groom arrives. The wise bridesmaids enter into the wedding and all its celebrations with the groom. The foolish remain outside, in fact, are locked out. And no amount of banging on the door or arguing with the host gets them in. The message is clear. We must be those who are wise and who tend our lamps and all that that means, ready for the arrival of our one and true leader, Jesus. Great, we think we can do that. But the challenge remains to have our eyes firmly fixed on Christ at all times, not just when it suits, and also during those times when our gaze is distracted by all the other gods in our world, other leaders amongst them, all vying for our attention. The punchline of the parable is a sobering one. If we choose not to do these two things, recognize Jesus as our leader, and wait and watch and prepare for him, then we, like those foolish bridesmaids, risk being shut out of the kingdom of God.
Let's say the Nicene Creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We come now to a time of prayer for the world and the church, and our prayers this morning come from a New Zealand prayer book. We pray for the church, for all Christians everywhere, for our Sovereign Queen Elizabeth, Philip, our Metropolitan Bishop, for Genevieve, our Regional Bishop, for all clergy, and for all in our parish. Gracious God, may your Spirit give strength to all your people as they work and witness in your world. Unite us in your truth and love, and help us to show your love to others. We pray for all people, for places where there is war or famine, God, our Creator, help everyone to share all the good gifts that you have given to us. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We pray for our community and for all who live and work in this area. God, our friend, we pray for our families and friends. May we be able to help each other just as you love and help us. We pray for those in need, for sick people, for those in hospital, and for those with many other problems. Compassionate God, give your strength and healing to all those who are sad, lonely, or sick, and bless all those who try to help them. We remember all those who have died. God of hope, we thank you that not even death can separate us from your love. We pray for all who mourn, that they may feel your care for them. We pray for ourselves, all that we will do this week, and all those we will meet. Loving God, we give this week into your hands. Be with us in all that we will do, and may we enjoy this week and learn and grow in it. Those things, O God, that your servants have prayed for, give us grace to work for, and in the purpose of your love, answer our prayers and fulfill our hopes for Jesus' sake. Almighty God, you have promised to hear our prayers. Grant that what we have asked in faith, we may by your grace receive, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, confident in God's forgiveness. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to God in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Just before I do give the blessing and dismissal, I hope that those of you joining us on Zoom will be able to stick around for a cup of tea or coffee just about 10 minutes after the service finishes. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and upon those whom you love this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.